Hi, this is Pamela Wilson from the Big Brand System, and I am so pleased to have Leah McClellan with me today. Leah has volunteered to be the next victim of the Big Brand System review process. Mm-hmm. Leah, welcome.
Hi, Pamela.
Leah has an amazing website called Peaceful Planet, and it is a blog that's about helping people to communicate more effectively and more consciously so that they can go out and change the world. So it's a tiny goal, Leah. Very, very unambitious goal, but
we can be the change.
That's right. And it's you've got some beautiful pieces of writing on there and some great messages to share. So I'm so excited to be able to help you with the marketing and design aspect of it.
Thank you.
And it's not easy to put yourself through these reviews publicly, so I appreciate everyone who's willing to do it. So, and just as a disclaimer before we start, the information that I'm going to share with Leah is based on my own marketing experience and spending some time on her site, but it's not an exhaustive review. And Leah ultimately needs to decide which of these suggestions make sense to her, and then she can just implement the ones that do. The first question I have for you, actually, Leah, is do you have Google Analytics installed on your site?
Yes, I do.
Great, because that'll be a way to see over time if some of the changes that you do decide to make any difference in your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I would recommend to everyone. If you have a website, make sure you have Google Analytics installed. It's free. It allows you to track your traffic over time, and you can see when you have big spikes. You can check to see which things cause those spikes, and you can do more of those things, which is always a good, good strategy. So, Leah, tell me a little bit about Peaceful Planet and what you're trying to accomplish with the site.
Well, Pamela, my goal is to help people. It's in my nature to help people and to share things that I've learned over the course of my life, sometimes through the School of Hard Knocks and so on. So that's one part of my goal is, you know, to reach out to people and share what my learning has been. I used to teach, I did for some years, and I'm not now, but it just seems to be natural for me. So I always love to reach out to people. Secondly, I do have a great passion for world peace, for peaceful communication between people, and to help people in a broader sense to improve their family life, their community, the town, the country, the world. I abhor war. I hate war. I just can't stand it. So I'm trying to do my part. Right now it's a very small effort, but as time goes on, I hope to join forces with other more organized groups to work toward world peace and so on. So that's like the non-monetary side of it. Eventually, I would like to increase affiliate sales possibly, and also introduce some of my own writing. I have a small free ebook coming up on more peace in life and so on, and eventually I'm going to write something more substantial that will cost a bit. So I'm hoping to build up my readership and subscription level to support something like that.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, and I do want to talk a little bit more about that later on. Because one of the things, we can go ahead and talk about it now if you want. You mentioned to me that you were doing a little bit of affiliate marketing, and just so that people understand what that is, that basically means that you're offering other people's products, hopefully products that make sense for your particular audience.
Exactly.
Right. On your site, they're products that you believe in and you're endorsing, but every time someone buys using a link from your site, you get a little bit of monetary compensation.
Exactly. It could be 50% or 25% or something like that of whatever the sale price was of that product. And I do only offer products that I personally own.
Right. So that's a great way to produce some income. It's very, it's sort of low effort. You review the product, you're happy with the product, you put a link or an ad up on your site, and then you just collect the checks. But the only problem with it is that typically it doesn't bring in a huge amount of money unless you have a lot of traffic to your website.
Yes.
Because a very small percentage of those people will actually convert and buy the product. So in order to see some real money, you have to have a huge amount of traffic. And because you're not blogging about Britney Spears or Brad Pitt, You may not see those traffic numbers. You may not see the kinds of numbers that you would need to see to make affiliate marketing really pay off. So typically, what I try to recommend to people is to do exactly what you're planning to do, which is to develop their own products that they can sell to their audience that will either answer, solve a problem, answer some kind of need that their target market or their readers have, or give tips or information that people will be willing to pay for, basically. And the financial gain that you can get from selling your own products is much larger than what you can get from affiliate products. So I was very glad to hear that you were developing that.
A couple months.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know it takes a while, but...
Meanwhile, I want to sharpen up my site and make it much more attractive. You know, I know it's not bad right now, but looking at your site and, you know, some others that look really stunning, I want to, you know, sparkle up mine, polish it up a little bit more to really look a lot more professional than it does now.
Right. No, and that's the thing. Before I started the recording, I said to you, there are a lot of things that you're doing right. And I do want to recognize those things. And I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to get this site looking more polished. So one of the first questions before we talk about the visual aspect is, I wondered what the gender and the age of your target market is.
Okay. I gave some thought to that. What I have currently is a wide range. I have about 300 subscribers right now and a lot of traffic that I really don't know about that's coming in from Google and other search engines. But as for subscribers, they're ranging anywhere from young 20s to 56 or 57. I think there's a couple that might be a little older. But I think that the average age right now is 30, 40, 50 in there. Looking at the target audience, though, you know, those are people like I've met through my network and so on. And some people are subscribing because they're seeing my proofreading ebook there and so on and so forth. So I don't know what their ages are, but I suspect that the target audience is quite varied, but I suspect possibly mostly women, maybe as many as maybe 75% women, I believe. I'm not 100% sure of this yet, but it could go down toward 50-50, but I think a lot more women tend to, in general, be more interested in self-improvement and improving our communication. So, and I see a lot of men there. Whenever I do an article on anger, though, I tend to draw more men. I'm playing around with topics right now, you know, and I'm seeing who's responding because I have a wide range of things I can talk about. This is a huge, wide topic of communication. There's so many aspects and tying it into world peace and so on. So I'm watching right now who is commenting and what the draw is on different posts that I make. But I think in general, probably the target market is more like 30 to 50.
Okay. And you think mostly women. So if it does end up like, say, let's say over time, you see that you're attracting 75% women. Are you okay with that?
Yes, that's fine. Although, you know, I do like to reach out to men too, because I know typically, and I hate to stereotype, I really don't like to do that, but it is a true thing that it tends to be that men aren't the type to be browsing around looking for solutions to their marriage problems.
Right.
It's usually the women doing that.
Right. You know, right. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, it has been shown that women make more buying decisions. So it's not a bad idea to target that market. At the same time, though, men are 50% of the population, so you don't want to ignore them. But
right. I don't want a girly looking site. I'm not girly in the first place anyway, so I want to attract the men. I would love it if it were 75% men, because I want to reach out to them. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And women can go anywhere. Women are used to this stuff. I would love to cultivate a male audience.
Right. Okay.
Relate well with men. In fact, I tend to, in many cases, relate better with men than women. It depends on the type of person. Absolutely.
Right.
And stereotype. But I would love to attract men. They need to hear stuff if they're not getting it somewhere else, you know, based on the history of, you know, I mean, men are getting more open to this stuff as the years go by, but, you know.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a good conversation to have early on, because early on in our review process, because the way that you answer those questions, of course, influences the way that you approach your marketing and the way that you design your site. So this is, it's very good to know that you don't want it to be overly girly, that you recognize a lot of your subscribers are women, but you don't necessarily want it to look like you're catering exclusively to them.
Definitely not. No, I want to reach to the men.
Right. Okay, that's good. So I looked at your page, and we're primarily going to be talking about your homepage, which is a blog page, basically, with a sidebar. And I'll put a screen capture of this up on the site so that people can see what we're talking about. Like I said, I think there are a lot of things that you're doing right. One thing that you're doing right is you're building a list, and you're using an email software platform to build that list. So you're offering something, and you're asking people to give you their name and email address. And that way, you're going to create this list that you can keep in contact with those people. So you get an A+ in list building.
Thank you. That was a challenge, dealing with AWeber and setting all that up stuff, but now I got it.
It is challenging, and a lot of people don't want to go through it. But there are some things that I think you could do to make it even more effective, though. You're offering something in return for their email address, so that's excellent, because when you know, sometimes you come to a site and it says, sign up to get our updates, but you're not giving them anything in return for sharing their email address. And people are very wary about sharing personal information, email addresses or anything. So if you give them something in return for sharing that information, you're going to have a much higher conversion rate on that offer. However, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, there's something a little confusing on your site, because when I look at it right now, at the top of the site, it says subscription options, RSS, and email.
Yeah.
And then further down on the sidebar, it says get your free copy, and that's where you're really collecting the information. I would recommend that you delete that email option at the top of the page, because that email signup goes to FeedBurner.
I know.
and the thing is, you don't control the FeedBurner list. That FeedBurner list belongs to FeedBurner. I mean, you can export it, but it's very difficult to communicate with people who have given you their email address through FeedBurner. And the way you have it positioned now is you have it up in the top right side of the site, which is like prime real estate, you know? You're giving prime real estate over to FeedBurner, and they're creating... You're basically having people go into a list on FeedBurner that you don't own.
Right. Yeah, I've thought about this. I've only had the other one up for only 2 months. I just haven't got around to it. Good point, though. So are you saying that I should put my subscription incentive up there?
I definitely think you should put your subscription incentive up in the top right.
Okay,
Because that's your list. That is... One of the things you have to ask yourself when you're looking at your page is, what do I really want people to do besides reading my blog post? And in your case, the action that you want them to take is to get on your list so that you can keep in touch with them and eventually sell them these amazing products that you're going to develop for them. So I would definitely move it to the top of the right-hand column.
Got it.
And even, you know, maybe, well, we'll talk about color and things like that later, but you may even add some color to that sign-up coupon so that it stands out more.
All right.
Now, here's another place where I think there's a little bit of a disconnect going on, and it's that your giveaway is a guide to proofreading.
I know.
and your site isn't really about proofreading. I mean, obviously, this is an area where you have skills and you have some knowledge that you can share, but there's a disconnect with what your site is about. So I think it's a little bit confusing. Now, it sounds to me like you're developing something else that you're going to give away that has more to do with your site's theme.
Yes, I am. This proofreading guide evolved from a totally different scenario, and I had it, so I popped it up there as an incentive. And I have had, 200. I have about 200 people on the list from that. Quite a few unsubscribe because they just wanted the proofreading guide, which is fine. But a lot of them are staying, which is wonderful. So
that's great. I mean, the only thing about that is I would be a little bit concerned that those 200 people are mostly interested in proofreading, since that's what they signed up for.
Right. Although a lot of them are bloggers.
Okay.
and their own niche is similar to mine. So, you know, I recognize a lot of the names there. A lot of them came from over on Right to Done, Mary and Leah Babada's site, and a lot of those are other bloggers.
Okay.
So it's sort. I totally agree with you on the one hand. On the other hand, it's not a total downer.
Oh no! And I mean, if you've gotten people to sign up based on that, it's awesome. It's never a bad thing. That's never a bad thing. But I would say, in order to create a more cohesive experience for your brand new visitors that know nothing about you,
I agree.
You should have a giveaway that relates to your blog theme.
Peaceful Planet Manifesto coming up.
Yeah, something like that. And the other thing is, and this is a larger topic, really. It was something I was planning to talk about at some point in the review, but I think the other thing that's important when you're conveying this information is you want to make sure that you can position your, for example, Peaceful Planet Manifesto so that you're presenting the benefits of that knowledge to the people that are going to take the time to read the ebook. Even though you're giving it away for free, you have to kind of sell it. So
right. The
way that you sell it is by talking to people about the benefits of learning what they'll learn in the ebook. So you talk to them about how to have a more peaceful life, how to have more effective communication. I mean, these are benefits that you'll have to write, and I can't really make up for you, but you have to make sure that it's not just, this is Leah's take on the world. It's more like, my take on the world can help you to do this and that and be more effective here and be more effective there.
This is the solution to your problem. I've got it here.
Right. It's the what's in it for me question that you have to answer with any piece of marketing. And even when you're giving away something for free, you still have to answer that question because, first of all, because you're asking for something in exchange for that free thing. You are asking for some information. Mm-hmm. But you're also asking for their time. And when you're asking someone to give their time over to something, you have to convince them that it's not going to be a waste.
Right.
So the way to do that is to say, this is what's in it for you. When you read this, you will learn this, this, and this, and these will be your takeaways, and this is how your life is going to change. When you're talking about, and this is another area, in the sidebar of your site, you have a photo of yourself, mm-hmm. and you talk about the main purpose of your blog. Mm-hmm. And that's another place where I was going to encourage you to think about the wording and think if there's a way to word that little blurb. It's only about, you know, 6 lines long right now, but think about if there's a way to word that so that when people read it, they'll understand what's in it for them.
Uh-huh.
So I think you've got some of that going, but I think if you think more about it, there's probably a way to communicate what the ideas and insights that you'll share will exactly do for them in their lives.
I think I see what you mean. I never thought of this before, but the way I have it worded, I'm here to share. I'm just talking about what I'm doing. I'm not saying what's in it for you.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, this is my little kick in life to share ideas. Oh, la-di-da. You know,
right. Which is great. I mean, the thing is, somebody says, write something about yourself on your blog or, you know, mm-hmm. write your about page. Well, here's the thing. The about page and these little about blurbs aren't really about you.
They're really
about your reader, and they're really about what your reader is going to get out of reading your blog. So a very well done about page says what the blog is about and what the reader will get from it.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, it's written by so-and-so who is an authority because of XYZ. But that's almost an aside, you know?
I see your point.
Now, for the design suggestions, I've actually gotten through most of the marketing strategy suggestions. So for the design suggestions, these, I don't have a lot because, like I said, it's very clean looking. I think you've got a lot of really great things going. The one thing I would say is on your photo that's in the sidebar and also on the about page.
Okay.
Your blog is about good communication and effective communication. That's one of the things you're talking about. And studies have shown that when people are looking at a photo, they look at the person's eyes. So the good thing about this photo is you're looking directly at the camera, so that's a plus. But the photo that I'm seeing is dark. It's very, it's very dark. So I don't know if you feel comfortable lightening that photo somehow, but I would encourage that because it will allow people to make eye contact with your photo, and I think it'll make the photo more effective.
Okay, I'm not real happy with that photo, but it's like the best I've had.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's hard to get a good headshot that you're happy with. If you want to try to do it on your own, the one website that I would recommend is picnic.com, and that's PICNIK.com.
What's
it? Well, it's a photo retouching site that actually does a lot of things that Photoshop does, but it's all on the web and it's free. And it's also very easy and very intuitive to use. So what you would do is take the photo that's on your site now, upload it to picnic.com, and then you'll be able to figure it out. I mean, you can go through there, you can lighten it, you can brighten it.
Okay.
I need to write a blog post about Picnic. It's one of the things I want to share with the readers. But I would definitely recommend lightening that photo. Now, when you go to your About page, you have a photo where you're wearing like a baseball cap.
Right.
And the same thing is, it's a cute photo. It's really cute. But the same thing is happening there, that your eyes are kind of in shadow.
Oh, I know. That was like my early, really lousy photo. That was like the that was the best I had at the time, and since been replaced with one in the sidebar. I have to work on that. Yeah.
Okay. I'd encourage that. I think it's going to make a big difference because people want to connect with you. So you need to turn the lights on the photo, brighten it up so they can see your eyes. I think that'll make a big difference.
Okay, got it. And I think a bigger smile. I have a funny smile. I mean, I have fine teeth and all that kind of stuff, but I have this crooked smile that makes me look like I'm smirking, and it looks like sarcastic or something, so I've been keeping my mouth shut.
I know how it is. I mean, my eyes get all squinty if I smile too big, so I try to not smile big in the photos, and then I have this weird, you know, look where I look like I'm trying not to smile. It's very bizarre, so... The other design suggestion that I would make on your site is to consider, and I don't know if you saw this, last week's blog post was about five things that you could do to add website wow to your, you know, to add the wow factor to your website. And I was actually thinking about your site because at that point, you had contacted me and we had started talking about doing this review. And one of the things that I noticed when I went to your site is that the background is white.
Yes.
And so I actually put that into my blog post. And the reason I did that is I wanted people to consider using some kind of color in their site background. People's monitors tend to be very horizontal. So they open up a page in a browser and they're looking at a website. If there's nothing on either side of that site to sort of contain the content area, their eyes can end up kind of wandering off the edges.
You know, I'm looking at your blog right now, and yeah, it's pulling my eyes right to the center.
Well, my blog has a hardcore bright red background. So
I love that. It's soft, that red. I love that red. It's soft. I love it.
It's not for everyone, though. I mean, it's, you know, it was a decision I made on that blog, but it's not something that I would suggest to everyone. Not everyone needs a super rich, saturated color. Mm-hmm. But I would always suggest that just about any blog looks better with some kind of background color. Especially in the case of your blog where you don't have any kind of lines or anything to the edge of your content. So there's just this feeling like you float off the edges.
Mm.
And because you're asking people to read, and some of your articles are long, they're wonderful, they're very rich, and they're long. So you're asking people to stay with it for a long time. Mm. You want to make the reading experience as comfortable as possible. And one way to do that is to select a color that'll go on either side.
Got it. That makes sense.
Now, your next question is going to be, but Pamela, what color should I choose?
Oh, I'll play around. But what do you
think? Well, just to give you some ideas about how you could pull a color that might work, you could start using the blue that's already in your logo.
Yeah.
And you could look for a lighter version of that blue. Now, I wrote a post, and I'll link to it when I put this review up, but I wrote a post a while back about how to find color tints, in other words, lighter versions of your color, so that you can use those and maintain a cohesive color palette but have other colors to choose from that are lighter or darker than your starting color. Mm-hmm. So I'll put a link up for that. There's an online tool that makes it really easy. So you could pick a blue from that. You could also pick one of the colors that's in the photo of the bud that you're using in your logo.
Maybe a green of some sort.
It could be one of those tints of green or the mauve kind of pink color that you have. Now, that might make it look too girly, so you might not like that. So, you know, so you may have to play around. I tend to make these changes on Sundays when it's a low traffic day, and I just, you know, I'll play around with color changes and see what they look like, and then once I have one I'm happy with, I keep it like that.
I think blue might be really nice because, you know, that's like a real loving kind of a calm color.
It is. Well, yeah. The sky, I mean, the wonderful thing about blue is that the sky is blue and the sky never goes away. It's always there. So,
it reminds us of a planet.
Yes. Yeah. So that might be something to try. And like I said, right, it doesn't have to be super saturated. It can be very, very light.
Right.
But I really think that it's going to make your pages look sort of cozier, easier to follow, and it's going to make the reading experience better.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. I can't wait to see it. Those are my suggestions. Do you have any questions about anything that we talked about?
Yes. Well, I'm wondering about the header art there. You did suggest, I'm thinking that you did suggest to get the subscription stuff way up in the upper right corner. Do you mean at the same spot where the current subscription options are or higher still?
I was thinking where the current subscription options are.
Okay. In that case, then, sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say that's going to leave you some space on the right. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, I was thinking, I was feeling like I need to make my header a little bit bolder or keep the text the same size and somehow weave in some sort of a border underneath Conscious Communication for Changing Your World and extend something over to the right.
Right.
I feel like I want to fill that spot in a little bit.
I know. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I think you have a couple of options. First of all, I would say that it could go a little bit larger because right now, if you look at your content area is a little bit wider than your header text.
Right.
And you probably want to do just the opposite. Mm-hmm. You want your header text to be a little bit wider and heavier and bolder than your content area.
That's an easy fix.
Yeah. I mean, it may only have to be about 5% larger than it is now, but you could do that. Now, the one thing you might consider doing is putting your photo and your newly rewritten benefits-oriented copy right up there in the header.
That's an idea, too.
Next to the name of the blog. Okay. And that would free up room in your sidebar. You'd be able to obviously bump up the free giveaway and the sign-up for the course. And then everything that you've got below that, which is currently, you know, below the fold, basically, it's outside of the first of the reach of the first screen, all of that would move up.
Oh, I think I like that. I can make my photo a lot smaller and pop that into the header art itself with the text. Huh. And push everything up.
I think that might work really well.
Okay.
Hopping backwards here, but the one thing you might consider when you're doing your sign-up form, my original sign-up form on my website asked for people's name and their email. But what I found is when I took the name off and only asked for people's email addresses, which is all you really need in order to be able to communicate, my sign-ups went way up.
Take off the name.
So when you ask for less information, I mean, the only bad thing about that is if you ever want to do a personalized email in the future, you don't have any way to personalize the email because you don't have the person's name. But because people, you know, oftentimes they'll sign up for these things when they're just getting to know you, they're not sure they can trust you, they're not sure they're really interested in what you're communicating. If you just ask them for the minimal amount of information, you may get more people signing up.
I've seen some, too, that ask and clearly specify first name only, which is probably with your thought in mind to help people feel less threatened about giving up all their information. So they're only getting the first name.
Right. And you can definitely do that. You could ask for just a first name, but you know, you might want to try a test just over a month, maybe, of taking the name out and seeing if you get more signups. Now, I think you'll get more signups when you put up that Peaceful Planet Manifesto. Oh, absolutely. that's the one that's really going to convert people. But yeah. Do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. You've really helped out here.
Good.
What's your opinion? Look, scrolling down to the bottom of any post, I have link within there. What's your opinion on the photos? I mean, I like it. A lot of people have it. It gets a lot of people staying on the site a lot longer. Have any thoughts on that or any better way to do that? Because it takes up a lot of space.
It does take up space. I use it also. And I found that people stayed on my site longer once I installed it.
Right, because they're going over to another article.
Right. And I think the photos really draw people to those other articles. They help to get people interested in visiting them. The one thing that I can tell you is LinkedIn, for your information, you put up a blog post that has a photo on it. LinkedIn pulls that photo, and they keep it in a database that's off-site. So if you change the photo later on, the photo that's referenced down in these link within boxes is not going to change.
I did find that out. I wrote an article months ago on something having to do with a car accident, and I picked a photo that showed like a woman's arm on the road and parts of cars. It was really gory. I mean, not explicitly gory, but too gory for the site. And I mean, it really illustrated the story, but then I realized this is not positive thinking at all, because the story was positive about forgiving people and stuff like that. And then I changed it, but it always shows up in LinkedIn as with that arm sticking out.
Yes, I know. So that's the only caveat with that plugin. It's a great plugin, and I do, like I said, I saw a change in my numbers. People stayed around on my site longer once I started using it. But that's the only thing. You have to be aware that once you put up a photo, that's the photo they're going to use.
I have to remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks on that.
Sure.
I was wondering, I mean, I knew sometimes things get stuck or they get cached or whatever, but I didn't know that was exactly why.
It's actually stored off-site, which is kind of surprising, but
yeah, it is. Okay, one more question I thought of. What about a footer? I see a lot of people with a real large footer at the bottom to put all the previous posts and stuff like that. I mean, I've preferred to have them in the sidebar because I think they're more readily accessible rather than scrolling all the way down to the bottom. But I've seen some reputable, big bloggers have a big footer with all that. What do you think about that?
It's a style. I think you can do either way. Now, you have previous posts listed. You've got a two-column setup at the bottom of your page that's got previous posts listed.
True. Yeah, those, they bump down as,
Right. The one thing you might consider doing in terms of the way you have things listed in your sidebar is you might consider listing, you have the most popular posts, and I'm looking to see, you have about 8 or 9 of them. And then the recent posts, you have another pretty long list. You might pare that down to maybe 5.
Okay.
Just so that they aren't as deep. They don't go as deep.
Okay.
The other thing that you could consider doing, I do this on my blog, but it's, completely up to you. But the categories list can also be a drop-down menu. And that will pull it up and make it take less room.
Right, right, right.
And the idea behind that is just that the further up on the page that things hit, the more people tend to see them. Sometimes they don't make that trip all the way down the page.
Good point.
So the shorter you make those lists, the more they condense and the more people end up seeing them.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds all right. Good. What about the advertising disclaimer on there that I have it on the front? I had another friend who's got quite a bit of experience suggest that I shouldn't have it on the front page. What's your opinion on that? I mean, I put it up there not because I'm such an expert on the legal issues of advertising and affiliate links, but I do understand that I've got to have it up there somewhere based on like Jonathan Fields or somebody.
Right. I mean, I'm not a legal expert at all. So, but just using common sense, I would say that because you have some affiliate products on your page, you probably need to have this on your page as well.
Yeah.
This might be something that you could put down on the footer, though. Okay. So that it is less, so that it sticks out less and it's less obvious. It would still be there, but it wouldn't be quite as obvious.
Do you think it could be a turn on then? A turn off, rather, to some people to see that?
I don't think it's necessarily a turn off. I mean, you've got it so far down on the sidebar that a lot of people won't even make it down that far. That's the thing. Oh. But most of what you have in the sidebar is content related, and then you get to the disclaimer and it's like, wait a minute, this isn't content, you know? So it's almost like it doesn't go there, and maybe it would be better down in the footer.
Okay.
Because in the footer, I think, is where you expect to see copyright information, disclaimer right. information. So you might want to put it down there and just make it a little less obvious.
Okay.
Sounds
like a plan.
Good. Well, I can't wait to see what you do with the site.
I can't wait to get started. It's a snowy day. I think I'll skip other work.
All right. Well, I'm going to get my screenshots now so that people can see the before, you know, before you go in and start making changes. I'll make sure I get some good.
Oh, okay. Great.
So, well, Leah, thank you so much for going through this review process. I really appreciate it. And for everyone listening, I love to do these reviews. So if you would like to apply, there's a spot on the blog where you can apply to be the next Big Brand System review. I would love to hear from you, so just fill the form out and send it in, and I'll read it and we'll talk. Thank you so much, Leah, and I encourage everyone to visit her amazing peacefulplanetcommunication.com blog. It's beautiful. It's going to be even more beautiful.
I can't wait.
There's a lot of fantastic writing on there and a lot of great information that she's sharing, so I would encourage everyone to pay it a visit.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Thank you, Leah.